Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is the host, Travis Loop, and I am in New Orleans for this episode. I'm very excited to be here with Ghassan Korban, who is the new executive director of the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board. Thank you for making some time to chat.
Thank you for having me.
So you were just saying that you're now in not even done your fourth week on the job here yet. So how does it feel to be in this role and be here in New Orleans, in this city?
Yeah, it feels great. I'm truly honored and blessed to really be given that opportunity to lead the agency, the Sewage and Water Board. I refer to it as utility to make the point that it is a utility that serves the people of New Orleans, and we provide three very, very basic needs for the city, so we take that seriously. So it's been an awesome experience. I love the city and its personality and what it has to offer. So it's been great.
You recently, you came from Milwaukee. You were there for 31 years, I think.
That is correct.
And most recently, you were the head of the Department of Public Works there. So could you just kind of describe your background in public works and in water and in Milwaukee?
Right. So I describe my background as I've been a public servant for 31 years, started as a resident engineer and grew through the ranks with the Department of Public Works. I really occupied a lot of great positions that really prepared me for the next position, and I reached the top of that organization, being the Commissioner of Public Works, being appointed by the mayor back in 2011, and served for about 7 years as a commissioner.
Okay. And what were your responsibilities as the head of public works, especially as it related to water?
So it's probably one of the largest or more inclusive departments in terms of operations. So you had parking and forestry and fleet and sanitation, but also obviously we're responsible for snow and ice control. We had infrastructure underneath that, but we also had waterworks. So we were responsible for drinking water and not only serving 600,000 people of the city of Milwaukee, but we also had about 15 wholesale customers, amounting to about 150,000 additional residents and users. So it was a very encompassing department with responsibilities.
That's a pretty diverse array of responsibilities.
Very much so.
Yeah. And then I know Milwaukee's really, you hear about the Fresh Coast. It's sometimes that area is referred to as, and it's a really had a renaissance as far as this relationship with water over the past, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And they have the Milwaukee Water Council there, and just
absolutely,
a lot happening. So you
absolutely
got to be part of all that.
There's definitely a collective awareness of how important water is, and obviously fresh water. And, one thing that is focus of many people in Milwaukee, and obviously we're trying to broadcast that message, is that don't take water for granted. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are, or at least Milwaukee is on a great lake, Lake Michigan. The water is abundant, but we recognize that it's not abundant elsewhere or everywhere, and so it's a challenge globally, and it's a challenge actually within the United States. And just having had a county nearby adjacent to Milwaukee to the west, being Waukesha County, that was struggling with an alternative source of water. They use well water, and we just struck a deal just recently allowing them to buy water from the city of Milwaukee. So it was a great partnership and very, very responsible agreement that we struck, that balanced, obviously protecting the lake, but at the same time providing water for an adjacent county.
Going even further back, you have your bachelor's degree in civil engineering, a master's degree in construction management. You began work as a project engineer, were a chief construction engineer. How does that engineering background, that technical, education you got, help you to lead a water utility?
Well, and obviously the obvious way is that I understand the needs of the utility from an infrastructure perspective. I can evaluate assets and determine what's attainable, what's not, what's sustainable, what's not. But also I have the ability to kind of turn off my engineering mind and and become a more of a, again, a public servant who can relate to the public and at large and hear their concerns and hopefully have the ability to advocate for a global or collective awareness of the need for the utility and the city as a whole to adopt a long-term plan in terms of what the utility needs to look like. Yeah. It's very imperative to start that conversation today. And I've taken upon myself to be the one to call it out as I see it, be honest with my assessment. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing my job. I think that's the value added for me being here is kind of force the tough conversation because it needs to be had.
Yeah.
And so my goal is to obviously balance my engineering ability to study, evaluate in real terms using numbers, relate to my staff who are hard at work every day trying to make things happen with what they have, but at the same time, you know, kind of relate to the customers and the public at large and hopefully gain consensus at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here in New Orleans, it has the water infrastructure, the engineering aspects around water are pretty unique and special. So that'll be a fun area for you, I guess, to work in.
Absolutely. I don't know if it could get any more unique in right. terms of, you know, the existence with water, celebrating water, not just surviving the water, just, you know, turning around the mentality of just kind of get rid of the water. You know, I come from a world, and, you know, Kevin Schaefer and I have always talked about manage water where it falls. And the idea here, obviously, use an existing footprint that may not appear obvious to manage water, but, you know, as you kind of creatively turn that footprint around and without compromising the functionality of that footprint, kind of add a benefit of having water stored and green infrastructure, for example, in permeable pavement. You know, you have an existing footprint that's being used for moving traffic, right? And that's a very important function. But just that alone being there and you taking advantage of maybe a reconstruction project, for example, and then add a layer of storage. So taking advantage of that and then just absorbing maybe an incremental costs associated with that water management or water storage capacity. I look around the city, there's a lot of green space that is underutilized. Even though it's green space, it's really shedding off water once it's saturated. So I would love to see an opportunity to kind of rearrange that green space to make it more of a footprint that retains water, even if on temporary basis, just to kind of give the pumps and obviously the conveyance pipe a break, so to speak, allowing the water to be stored for a while. So
it's a fitting conversation as we sit here on a pretty rainy day in New Orleans and I hear that water outside. So it's going somewhere. Green infrastructure, how would you assess the state of it in New Orleans? There's plenty of room to grow then. It's really underutilized so far in New Orleans.
In some way, although I'm very pleased that there is a culture here, there is a movement, there is an initiative that's already there. We just have to tap into that and just kind of grow it. I mean, every way I turn, the term green infrastructure is being used. So it's not a new term, which is awesome. So we're not starting from scratch. There are very serious, meaningful plans that have been developed at several levels, but, you know, by experts and urban planners and what have you. So there is a baseline. And I know the Department of Public Works has an Office of Sustainability that has adopted some very good measures and good practices. So, again, it's an encouraging state. Certainly, we have a lot to go, and the conversation has to be had as we develop that master plan of how do we continue to protect the city with much more improved and more technology-driven infrastructure, we must layer the green infrastructure approach to that. So it's both, combining both would definitely add value and add a level of protection to the city that isn't being used, obviously, right now. So I definitely feel strongly that we're going to get there in terms of the culture change and then people adopting that concept as we move forward, because it's here already.
We touched on this a little bit, but I just want to circle back to it about New Orleans and its relationship to water and the people's relationship to water, and just your thoughts on if there is a special spotlight on the water utility, you know, on you here in New Orleans because of that relationship with water.
Well, certainly we are the entity or utility that is responsible for draining the water from the city and protecting it from being flooded. So we take that role seriously. I came to this job knowing that that's a key responsibility of mine, and it's a key challenge because there are some deficiencies associated with that. So no argument about it, or no question that we are 100% connected to water and the responsibility of draining the city.
And I guess I was also trying to say, do you think there's a special spotlight from others around the country and even around the world looking at what happens in New Orleans with
I would with think water? So. I would think so. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories from folks who've been in the city for a long time who proudly say that, you know, other cities from outside the United States who have looked at the city of New Orleans as the model city in terms of how we manage water at one point. Unfortunately, they feel that the table has turned. We had maybe become complacent, or we just never kept up with the technology and what we need to do to keep up with that, while other cities and other countries have continued and advanced much farther than where we are. So now we're looking at them too as a model. So I think a lot of people are watching us, and we are at a point where it's a turning point. It's a great place to be, because this is where you are building the city and the city's future for the next 50 to 100 years. Just like, you know, back in the 1920s, you know, engineers devised a genius plan, really, to protect the city with pumps and power generation and canals. I mean, it's a very intricate, genius system. But the time has come to kind of take another look, very hard look, and reinvest in that for the next 50 to 100 years.
Yeah. A couple of the, I guess, challenges or areas I think you'll be addressing in your new role. One is building up the workforce, you know, both in terms of numbers and also having the skills needed to move things forward. What are your thoughts on addressing workforce needs here?
Well, first of all, we need to create a better image of the utility so people would want to come and work for us, right? So we got to make this an exciting place to be. And you do that, obviously, by taking care of some of the current issues that are giving us somewhat of a black eye, or, you know, we're getting some negative attention. So we have to rid those off as soon as possible and create, again, that attraction to folks out there who are looking for jobs. But more than that, we need to create a workforce or a workplace that with the ingredients of accountability first, but also encouragement, training, compensation, you know, just a teamwork scenario that where everybody feels that they're part of a team protecting the city. I mean, this is a very, very important mission that we do. And then for people to be part of that is huge. But again, it's one position at a time. And we are currently looking at those vacancies and giving them a hard look at Are the numbers correct? Do we really are these vacancies real, or do we have a chance to maybe reduce that and make the utility run more efficiently? Because at one point we will be looking for additional funding, and we want to be looked as a lean, efficient utility that is worthy of additional funding versus throwing good money after bad. We just don't want to be there.
And that was another one of the areas is how you deal with you know, the need for revenue. There's a lot of different ways to go about that. There's federal funding for infrastructure projects and everything. So what's your approach to kind of your revenue needs and what you're going to need to invest in infrastructure and so forth?
Well, I'd certainly go after money wherever it is, just like everybody else. I mean, I'd go to the federal government, I'd go to the state. I mean, we've enjoyed a tremendous relationship with FEMA, obviously with a focus on improving the infrastructure, especially when it comes to drainage and other assets. But at the end of the day, we have to control our own destiny, and the case have to be made locally that the specifically the drainage, I mean, you know, obviously sewage treatment is an important responsibility. Drinking water is very, very key responsibility. All need funding. Mm-hmm. But nothing like our drainage system that is struggling financially because of lack of, you know, adequate funding from day one. Mm. We start the year with, you know, less than what we need. So we're, you know, kind of struggling on day one of every given year.
Trying
to manage a very, very key responsibility, again, protecting the city from flooding.
Sure. Complicated and tough challenge.
Yeah, right? I mean, what that looks like, I'm going to obviously make a case eventually, and it's going to be up to the policymakers and certainly the public to see if they support, you know, a more advanced and more reliable and maybe higher level of service in terms of protecting the city.
Well, one of the other challenges I was going to ask about is just, you know, internal culture and external reputation, but I think you've kind of touched on those with a little bit. Or is there anything else you want to say?
Well, I mean, I'm very impressed with the quality of work within the utility. I mean, we have awesome teams. I have people who haven't taken vacations for years. Mm-hmm. People who come at any given, I mean, they're just hard, dedicated workers, very passionate what they do. But they can only do so much, and maybe they are working that extra hard because to offset some of the inadequacies in the infrastructure itself, keep things running. So while I admire that, I think I need to fix it by correcting it and, you know, kind of more having it more balanced.
Yeah.
But I would want people to thrive working for the utility, because at the end of the day, a thriving utility, you know, it's going to be a good customer provider utility. So, and that's what people want.
Well, and like you also, I think, touched on, people that work in water are pretty passionate about it and pretty dedicated to the mission of what they do. So
absolutely.
It sounds like you have those folks here as well.
Yeah, I just need to grow the team for sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, we touched on vacancies. Some are real and some need to be filled sooner rather than later to keep us moving forward.
Well, I guess lastly, the reason I'm here in New Orleans is we have the Water Environment Federation. We have WEFTEC happening here. We come back every year. We bring 22,000 people into the city. So how does it feel to have, you know, the world's biggest water party in your town right when you start
work? It's exciting, and it's a lot of work too, because, you know, as I mean, I call it being the host by just guilty by association here, right? Everybody obviously wants access to you, wants to be part of their workshops or just, you know, just being there. So it's been exciting, but also a little bit overwhelming. So I'm very, very much looking forward to meeting new people, maybe look for opportunities, learn obviously what the world is doing in the world of water, and obviously share our experiences here and get people excited about being in the city of New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. Good conversation. Look forward to sharing it with folks.
Thank you so much for having me.
Words on Water.